Thank you, choir, and good to have y'all with us. First Sundays in the summer, always a blessing. And we're going to approach sermons a little bit differently in the summer. Whenever it's on a first Sunday of the month, like today, we're going to look more closely at some of the classic hymns, the stories and the scriptures behind them. And then on all the other Sundays during the summer, like next week, we'll be looking at the seven churches that are listed in the book of Revelation, looking at what can they teach us today. And spoiler alert, they can teach us quite a bit. So that's our plan for the summer. This week we're looking at the hymn in the garden, which we just heard, and the song is in the insert in your bulletin. We'll be singing it after the sermon, but if you want to look at the lyrics, they're in the insert in your bulletin. It was written by C. Austin Miles in 1912, and he actually gave a personal account, firsthand account, of how this hymn came to be. He had a powerful vision of the scene from John chapter 20 where the risen Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene in the garden. And here's what he said about this. He said, "It was as though I was in a trance as I read it that day. I seemed to be part of the scene. I became a silent witness to that dramatic moment in Mary's life when she knelt before her Lord and cried, 'Rabboni.' I rested my hands on the open Bible, stared at the blue wall in front of me. As the light faded, I seemed to be standing at the entrance of a garden, looking down a gently winding path shaded by olive branches. A woman in white, with head bowed, hand clasping her throat as if to choke back her sobs, walked slowly into the shadows. It was Mary. As she came into the tomb, upon which she placed her hand, she bent over to look in and ran away. John, in a flowing robe, appeared looking at the tomb. Then came Peter, who entered the tomb, followed slowly by John. As they departed, Mary reappeared, leaning her head upon her arm at the tomb, and she wept. Turning herself, she saw Jesus standing there, and so did I. I knew it was he. She knelt before him with arms outstretched, looked into his face, and cried, 'Rabboni.' I awakened in sunlight, gripping my Bible with muscles tense and nerves vibrating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I wrote as quickly as the words could be formed the lyrics, exactly as it is sung today. That same evening I wrote the tune, and it is sung today just as it was written in 1912. What a powerful vision to give us this hymn. The first two verses and the refrain of the hymn come from that vision from John chapter 20. And then the last verse of the hymn is more inspired by John chapter 10, which is our second reading for today. If you are able, please stand for the reading from the gospel. "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. You may be seated. As you know, I love Star Wars, but I do like to branch out a little bit. I want to let you know that. I also love Spaceballs, the parody movie making fun of Star Wars. I've got range, you know. And as I was thinking about shepherds, I was reminded of a scene from this movie where they crash land on a desert planet, and they're trekking through the dunes with copious amounts of Her Royal Highness's matched luggage. They're trying to rescue the princess, and it's not going well. And finally, the captain, who was trying to rescue her, stops, drops this huge box he's carrying, kicks it open, and then turns, incredulous at her, and said, "What is this? I told you to bring only what you need to survive." And she turns to him and says, "That is my industrial strength hair dryer, and I can't live without it." For some reason, the captain didn't put that in the need category. Have you ever been confused between what you want and what you need? Do you have any industrial strength hair dryers that you're toting around in your life, or maybe making someone else tote them around for you? In our text today, Jesus says that he is the shepherd, and the shepherd follow him because they know his voice. Now, I've shared many times also my disdain for the sheep population, an opinion born out of experience, but they are interesting nonetheless. For instance, sheep fall into the grazing category, meaning they pretty much, they're fairly nonspecific about what they will put into their mouths. Whatever's in front of them looks tasty. They need that grass or that rock or that cable or whatever else happens to be in front of them. And as much as I like to deride sheep and their intelligence, I can't claim we're all that different. We just call it impulse buying. Ooh, look, it says as seen on TV. One of the jobs of the shepherd is to show the sheep what they actually need. Because the sheep are just focused on whatever's in front of their face at this moment. But the shepherd knows, is this field actually nourishing as we graze? Or is it just full of weeds? The sheep might be moseying in a general direction, but it's the shepherd who knows if this is a good path or if that's a cliff up ahead. The shepherd knows what the sheep really need, even if they baa in protest whenever he's trying to guide them. Jesus says that if we know his voice and we follow it, that's what we need. What we truly need is trust in the good shepherd. The hymn says, "He walks with me, he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own." When we trust that Jesus is walking with us, when we trust that Jesus is talking with us, when we trust that we belong to Jesus, that's what we truly need. No industrial strength hairdryer needed. Not this patch of grass or rock that we happen to be clinging to. Now, sheep not only get stuck on whatever's in front of them, they also try to avoid things that might help them. There are a fair number of sheep in New Zealand, for instance. I didn't know this, but it's apparently true. One of them disappeared in 1998. His name was Shrek. And after a while, of course his name is Shrek, right? After a while, his owners gave up the search. They lamented the loss of their beloved Shrek. But in 2004, 6 years later, Shrek came wandering back to their fold. And in addition to the impressive feat of surviving for 6 years on his own, he also sported 6 years of unshorn wool on his body. Enough to make 20 men's suits. Can you imagine walking around in the summer with 20 suits on? I would have a heat stroke. His wool was so thick, he effectively had blinders on. They call it wool blindness. He ran away because he didn't want his wool to be shorn. It's kind of like, you know, going to the dentist for a sheep. It's something that they might need, but no one really wants to do it, right? So he ran away to avoid this temporary annoyance. 4 minutes worth of annoyance. He ran away for 6 years, and he accumulated 20 suits worth of insulation and wool blindness. And I wonder, how far will we go to avoid momentary discomfort? I mean, there are inventions to solve a lot of these discomforts. There's the one-handed bottle openers for those times when, you know, you just can't be bothered to use two hands to open your beverage of choice. There's a tie with a built-in water bladder and a straw so that you don't have to get up from your desk, you know, to get your water. There's the baby jumpsuit with microfibers on it so the baby dusts the floor as they're learning to crawl. Well, let's be honest, that one's genius. So maybe we are better than sheep after all. But seriously, how much of your life do you spend trying to avoid pain or discomfort in the future? How much time do you spend worrying about potential problems? Have you ever been tempted to lie because you could avoid pain in the moment? We do these things all the time. Jesus says in our text today, "I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd." So we know that there are sheep who, like the New Zealand Shrek, are running away from the shepherd. But luckily, that doesn't include anyone here, right? None of us would try to avoid hearing what Jesus is saying to us because it might be difficult. I know I've certainly never done that. And if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona for you. But I think we avoid what Jesus has to say to us because we hear the hard part. We hear that we are supposed to copy this shepherd who says that he lays down his life for the sheep. He risks for the sheep. It's not safe. But our hymn today says, "He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing." In other words, following the voice of that shepherd is not easy, but it makes your heart ring. And so would you rather sit around contemplating your fear of everything that could go wrong, or would you rather have your heart ring as you follow even a difficult word from the good shepherd? The last verse of the hymn really gets what I believe to the heart of the matter. It says, I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me is falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. In other words, the author of this hymn, when he had this vision, he would have rather stayed there in the presence of Jesus, but Jesus' voice tells him it's time to move on. It's time to do what needs to be done. It's time to reach those sheep who aren't in the fold. This is very similar to what happened with Peter, James, and John when they were with Jesus on the mountain and Jesus was transfigured and Moses and Elijah appear. And remember, they're like, "Hey, let's set up some booths here and let's camp out and stay here. We don't need to go back down with all the rest of the disciples. They just missed out on this. Let's camp out here. Let's stay here." But Jesus leads them back down the mountain into the plain to continue his mission. The voice of the shepherd doesn't just lead us to green pastures and still waters. The voice of the shepherd also calls us out to do the work of the Father. And really, there are three main points we see from this hymn and from Jesus being our good shepherd. First, we receive what we truly need from the shepherd, even though we're distracted like sheep by what's in front of us. Second, we find our heart ringing when we follow the voice of the shepherd, even when we'd rather avoid the shears and just keep our wool. And finally, the shepherd leads us to nourishment and comfort, but also leads us to our most important places and tasks. When we trust in the shepherd, we receive the nourishment we need to be strong so that we can make a difference in his name. Are you with me? Make sense? Well, take your bulletin out and flip it to the back. And you will see a logo that you've been seeing for the past 3 or 4 months. In the bottom left, there is a tree there, and it has a little bit of an explanation there. But now that we're 3 or 4 months in, I should probably explain the new logo, right? The session voted on this. We worked on it for way too long. But now we have it. And there are a few things that we're trying to communicate with this logo, and I think it ties in a lot with this hymn and with this text. One of the things that we wanted to communicate with this logo is the need for strong, deep roots. Roots that are strong and deep. That's the trust that we place in the Good Shepherd, not our own abilities. That's what those roots mean. And with those roots, we can grow up healthy because we aren't meant to be static. We're meant to be growing. And there was an ad many years ago where a guy's on his computer and he's looks with amazement as it says the end of the internet. He's reached it. He's seen everything. And that's funny because we know that that's impossible. Every second, there's more added to the internet than anyone could possibly read in their lifetime. And in the same way, we can never reach the end of our growth in faith. We're never finished. We never arrive. Just as a tree, each year adds a ring. Some years it's really good. Some years it's really tiny. But every year, the tree adds a ring to its growth. We keep growing in our faith as long as we have those sturdy roots. And finally, at the top of the tree, you see it branching out so it can help grow the forest. A single tree, like in my yard, you know, I've got trees that are not together. And some of them are doing well and some of them aren't. That's because they can't help each other. In a forest, trees can continue to thrive and grow, but an individual tree will eventually just wither and die someday. In the same way, we are about our community. We're not just about ourselves. We're about making a difference in Christ's name. We're about helping new trees grow. So you can think about this in your own life. If you look at this image of the tree, you know, how are your own roots of faith? How visible, if you look at the trunk of the tree, how visible is your faith in your relationships, in your family, in your work? And finally, how much of a difference, as you see those branches branching out, how much of a difference are you making as you branch out in Christ's name? That's what this logo is trying to communicate as we grow together. No sheep can do that on their own. But if the sheep are following the voice of the shepherd, they can get there. So what is the shepherd saying to you? Is he telling you something sweet, a word of comfort and nourishment? Or is he speaking maybe something more difficult, that you'd rather avoid those shears, keep your wool, but if you follow it, you'll find purpose and challenge? It might be a word prodding you to get out of the garden and into the world. Whatever he's saying, follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen.